Drive with Bob Murphy and Andy Mart.
Great to have you with us. It's Tuesday afternoon. Wayne Campbell about to join us. Mark Brayshaw not too far away. Lockie Whitfield to join us after five as well. What are the Longhorners up to before we get to Cambo, Bob?
Yeah, a bit of Brett Brown, Longhorn action, and then a little bit of Grimes Vlosten just to finish, Andy. Horrible roster construction at Philadelphia was built around Simmons and Embiid. Unfortunately, Brett has to go, but it was far from his fault. That's from Lockie. Will Brett Brown get another NBA gig? That's from Mozza, our mate in Cobden. That's an interesting question. If Brett Brown had no Aussie connections, you'd be hammering him for underachieving. No name attached to that one.
Okay.
And this one from a Tiger supporter. As a Richmond supporter, I'm happy for Grimes to get fined, but not Vlosten. Belchamber's swinging arm made high contact. You can't blame him for throwing his head back. If he was looking to stage, he would have got down and rolled around, but he didn't. He dropped to his knees and then got straight back up. Ridiculous.
If Brett Brown had no Australian connection, we probably wouldn't even be talking about it. So just a little footnote on the end of that Longhorn contribution.
You just came in the side door there. Nice. Oh.
There you go. Well, a lot of coaches get sacked in American sport. We don't talk about them all, only the ones that have got an Australian connection. Wayne Campbell has been good enough to join us. I don't know whether he's been following the Brett Brown situation over there. There's a lot going on closer to home. Hello, Cambo.
Hello, Andy. Hello, Rob. Good to be with you.
G'day, Wayne.
I'm sure you would have, because that's the sort of bloke you are, and this is, we're off script a little bit here, but we're going to talk to Mark Brayshaw a bit later on about the collateral damage that COVID is, you know, bringing to football clubs and staff numbers, and it would be a terribly difficult time, Cambo, to be at a footy club at the moment. Some are making the decisions already. Others know that the decisions are coming. They're probably looking around, wondering whether I've got a mark on my back, whether my position. It would be so difficult and challenging at footy clubs right now.
Just on both sides, Andy, as you said, to be making the decisions and then to be on the end of it, knowing that, you know, these people that won't be working at the AFL level in 2021 have done nothing wrong. You know, they've been good people. I heard you talk about Damien Carroll before, and never met Damien, but all you ever heard about him was what a good football person and, you know, great person and everything like that. From Sydney, Stewie Maxfield, who's been there for 20 years, and then you see the guys at the Gold Coast as well. So we've always lived in an era for, you know, going back 30 years, where we always added to footy departments and to football clubs. It's been a growth industry, and that's been the right way to go, because we've invested our money back into development and football clubs to get footy to a better standard. But this thing that's come along has hurt so many people, and lots of people in good footy, in good footy clubs have had to shed their jobs because of it. Yep, not a good time at all.
So we on this slot for a while now have been speculating about Bob and I have been talking about second tier, what it's going to look like in Victoria for quite some time. And, you know, you've brought a perspective to it to us from your neck of the woods. And we got a sense yesterday that what it's likely to look like. It's going to be fascinating, A, to see what this morphs into, but B, how they deal with the collateral damage that's been done to clubs who have been part of the NEFL, who don't look like being part of the future of this, you know, reformed league.
And I think you used the right words there, Andy, when you said what it might look like, because even the announcement yesterday leaves so much open. And that's, you know, that's not a criticism of the announcement, because they don't know. And, you know, I've been living this the last sort of 6 months with Sydney Uni and thinking about what's going forward. And so many people say, well, what do you think should happen? And I'm like, I don't know. You know, like, it's not often where you go, geez, it could be one of three things. And each of those has their various merits. But yesterday when they said that the NEFL and the VFL are merging, that's true. And it looks like probably, you know, the four Northern AFL clubs will join the VFL. But in what context and what it looks like, no one sort of knows, you know. I mean, I think the AFL said you can go standalone, you can go aligned, or you can, you know, farm your club, your players out to various clubs. So, like, from the four Northern clubs' perspectives, it might be that Brisbane go alone, so they, you know, they go down and join an Eastern Seaboard competition. Gold Coast might join with Southport and join that competition, and Sydney might say, well, we'll start, we won't have a second tier competition, and we'll just farm our players out to the Sydney Footy League. So Then you've got the VFL, and you know the VFL clubs in that, so which there's three different ones. There's the AFL standalone, there's the aligned, and then there's the VFL standalone. So how it will look, I don't know. It's the start of the process, but where it ends up, we don't quite know.
So there's a million element, not a million, there's dozens of angles to come at it from, I reckon, and we don't know. So there's a bit of speculating about the whole thing. But what's it likely to do to footy up in your neck? Have you got a clear enough grasp, Cambo, to get a sense for what it's going to do to that second tier of footy, and a really important tier of footy in Queensland and New South Wales?
If I just go from a Sydney perspective, because I know that a touch better, Andy, I reckon there's... So for the people in Victoria who don't know, there's only two clubs in New South Wales or ACT. Well, there's only one club in New South Wales and one club in the ACT that was in the NEAFL, other than the Swans and the Giants, if that makes sense. So if you weren't at the Swans or the Giants and you wanted to play in the NEAFL and you're in Sydney, you played for Sydney Uni. If you're in Canberra, you played for the Canberra Demons. So Sydney Uni theoretically could join this Eastern Seaboard competition next year. It could join a New South Wales ACT competition where the best three or four clubs from Sydney and the best three or four clubs from the ACT join together. Or they could do what we're doing at the moment and play in the Sydney Footy League. So Sydney Uni have a team in that, which there's, 10 teams, I think there is? 8, 9, 10 teams? I probably should know that. And play in that local competition. But that's a big step backwards from the NEAFL from last year. So even amongst just here, there's varying options that need to be worked through.
And this is to both of you blokes. I've got a bit of stuff to say about this later. It comes out. But do you get the sense that the AFL, the AFL's orchestrating all this? The AFL through its state organisations is driving this, and it's difficult, really difficult. I appreciate that. But do you get a sense that the AFL is conscious of the impact that these decisions make at the next level down? At the community footy clubs, the ones that are part-timers, what can happen to them? Well, we've read the story about the Canberra Demons in the news. They didn't know about it till the announcement was made, which is pretty poor. I mean, there's a million things going on. But do you get a sense the AFL is aware of the impact of these decisions?
Oh, I might go first, Rob. But I would say absolutely.
You do it, righto.
And I don't know whether we're different to the Canberra Demons, but we've had a different version from what they've had, and that's not to say. But we've been in conversations with the AFL for a fair while. We didn't get a heads up the announcement was coming yesterday, which that might have been nice. But geez, 10% of their staff are being stood down yesterday, and all sorts of stuff like that. So I mean, it's easy to be critical from the AFL. I've never sort of come from that standpoint. And on this one, when they're trying to run a competition off reduced staff that Australia's never seen before, because they're flying them around and, they're talking about whether they change the North Melbourne West Coast game to Perth and, all sorts of that. So to do that, to run that competition on reduced staff, to look forward to form, different competitions next year, again on reduced staff, I think we've got to cut them some slack. So my answer to that would be yes. Could they do it better? And we can always do stuff better. But I think they've got the greater good at heart for sure.
Okay. Wayne's got the much better lens of that one look through. Yep. You don't want anyone to be sideswiped, do you? So if the Canberra Demons felt like they were blindsided a little bit, you don't want that for anyone, individuals or clubs. So I'll only add that. Wayne?
There was one part of the announcement yesterday. Sorry, Rob and Andy.
No, you're right.
They called the Eastern Seaboard competition the VFL. I hope that was an error. I hope that was just a typo. You can't have New South Wales and Queensland teams playing in the VFL. It's not right.
Yeah, that's just incorrect as well. Yeah, so it's...
We do need a VFL.
That's right.
As well.
Well, we tried to restructure that ourselves.
Yeah,
we
need that badly. Yep.
Wayne, the topic of staging for free kicks is one that gurgles away, and from time to time it sort of erupts, and it's... I'm not sure if that's the right phrase, but at the moment it is certainly in the spotlight. Through the lens of the umpires, how difficult is it for the umpires to judge whether a player is diving or not? Do they talk about it?
Um, I can't recall too many sort of individual conversations, Bob, but yeah, I mean, it makes it harder than what it needs to be. I do think I probably got a different view on the two that we're talking about, the Grimes and the Vlosten. I do think that anybody who goes to Nick Vlosten staged or accentuated contact, I mean, just I'd like Tom Bell Chambers to just swing his arm at their neck and just, you know, 6'8" and 120 kilos, just see whether they think it hurts or not. So Dylan Grimes, did he push himself forward a bit? Maybe. But, yeah, just a big swinging arm from the big Essendon ruckman coming across your neck. Oh, I think it's hard to tell from vision whether that stings you or not. I don't know what you guys feel about that, but that one was like, I don't think I'd like that on my coronary artery, by the way.
I think, theoretically, what a
very spicy detail that was. Geez, very nice.
Well, imagine if it got in there, Rob, and he went down and he couldn't get up.
Oh, that's right.
What would we be saying
then? He's lucky to still be with us.
He's lucky to be playing next week.
Cheering,
mate. Tough Richmond back flanker.
Righto. I think we know where you're coming from now. Hey, can I ask you both this question? And Wayne, you go first. Is the Mitch Wallace rebuild, is it being under, are we under reporting what this bloke's done in his football career?
I've been watching him for a little bit and thinking about, you know, discussing with you guys. If I was to say he's a poor man's version of someone or a lesser version of someone,
yes.
Who comes to mind when I say that?
Tom Hawkins.
Oh, wow. I wasn't thinking him.
That's extraordinary.
I wasn't thinking him, but
the way he plays is the same. Yeah, it's just a small version.
So who are you thinking? I was going a mid. So a player who was a very good mid for a long period of time.
Can I go? Lee Matthews.
Yeah. Well, so I reckon him and KB were the first ones to go. That was towards the end of their career, you know. So it was like they were champion mids and then went forward and, you know, and Lee Matthews kicks 900 goals and KB kicks 700 or whatever he kicks. But in my mind, it was Toby Green. So I was like, he was a really, really good mid. And then he went forward because they've got a plethora of mids and they probably need a forward. And then he plays in a way that's just different to other mids that play forward. I've always had this belief that I think mid, if you're a good mid, you can play at half back. I just sort of think it's a touch easier and it's in front of you. But not all really.
On behalf of the halfback flankers fraternity, we are not happy, but we'll let you have you. We know we only have you for a few minutes, but I'll take umbrage with that. Could let you continue.
So to reiterate, if you're a reasonable mid, you can be a star at halfback.
Bruce Dool's
pulsing.
Bruce Dool's just sent through.
No, not fullback, Andy. Not fullback. Fullback's different. I mean halfback like Robert used to play it. You know, just flit around a little bit and get on the end of it. Have a little handball received. Not fullback.
Get to your point.
But to go forward is harder. Now, there's the superstars, Dangerfield and Fife and, you know, all that. They can play wherever they want, so they'll go forward. But there's always this. So, you know, should Dangerfield and Fife play forward? Well, it takes them away from mid. But I think with Toby, but also with Mitch Wallace, because the Dogs are so strong in the midfield, they've gone, let's put him forward. But it's different to play down there, you know. And then you've got to actually want to play forward, because a lot of forwards also want to play mid. They want to run. Because, again, this is from a midfielder's perspective. It's easier in the midfield, you know. There's more space, it's 360, all that sort of stuff. And you don't generally, especially nowadays, have someone breathing down your neck. Whereas at forward, you do. Like, they play you tight and you've got a direct man and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. So,
I would make the delineation there. Toby is such a versatile. I mean, he's a classic half forward flanker. He's got the freakish ability, but he plays it quite orthodox, gets up the ground, he can lead. Mitch at the moment is playing like a standalone full forward. Like he's calling it in on his head, and that's why I went with Tom Hawkins. He's playing as almost a traditional full forward. It's quite staggering. I didn't think he had the ability to do this much damage there as a permanent forward. I've been blown away. Hats off to him.
The rebuild is...
These are sort of the thoughts been in my mind. I've been thinking about what players could do. I was watching Taylor Adams last night. I was thinking, I reckon, again, because you need a reason to do it. You know, and Collingwood, if they had all their mids up and running, they'd have a surplus of mids. And they probably need someone a bit different for it. I reckon Taylor Adams can do it. But, it's sort of... it's interesting that it doesn't happen more often, I suppose. So,
yeah, well, because you often get the mismatch, don't you? I find this really fascinating. Because if the opposition's got good key defenders, so on the weekend, take the Dogs, Demons, for example. So Norton and Bruce are kept really quiet by Lever and May. But they didn't have the matchup for Wallace. So they make him the target, the go-to. And it's just a power to weight ratio. They don't have to be 6'5". If Mitch is 6 foot and on another, a 6-footer who's inadequate, well, then that's the one.
Yeah, but then I think as well, and I don't know what Mitch's endurance is like, but because, again, they've played mid like Toby has, they can run.
Yeah.
You know, so they can outrun their back potentially, and then they get him in a one-on-one. And Toby, I see Toby beating his man one-on-one a bit the same as you're saying about Mitch Wallace beating him one-on-one, which was your Tom Hawkins analogy, which was right. So, yeah.
It's
interesting that it doesn't sort of happen more often.
It's a hell of a career shift, and that he's, as from a footballer's perspective, that he's embarking upon and making a really strong go of Mitch Wallace. It's a great story, and who knows, he might have a really big hand to play in the last 8 or 9 weeks of this football season. Hey, Cambo, we've left a bit on the cutting room floor. We'll pick a bit of it up next week. Always good to hear your voice. Thanks for being part of it again today. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Andy. Thanks, Rob.
Good on you, mate.
See you, Wayne.
Wayne Campbell joining us. The mids who can go forward and be one. Who are they? Who are the mids out there at the moment who, if they had to make that little career shift to survive in the
comp? Who haven't.
The ones who are in the comp now or are yet to do it. The Mitch Wallace types. And if you want to use Toby Green, you can use him as well. Who are the others out there that you think, oh, he's on the verge of being squeezed, but he could do what this bloke's doing? If you've got one or two you want to throw into the mix, we can keep an eye on them. Feel free to share.
And if there's any half-back flankers out there who are as offended as I was about Wayne's callous remarks, send us a text.
1-300
on to him.
1-300 736 736.